Welcome to Grace Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us on Sunday morning, January the 31st, 2016.
Good morning, Grace. I can think about the Broncos. I used to not like them, and now with in-laws living there, I kind of do. Tonight, special treat for those who come to the evening service. We've got a man who was involved in leading me to the Lord and kind of helped me grow up in the Lord, the man who was there when I felt that call to ministry. My dad's going to be speaking tonight. He's speaking on confession. I made it very clear to him that it's confessing his sins and not mine, but as we think about the Broncos, he may tell you about my first Broncos game and some things I learned there that he was called to confess about later on. But you have to be here tonight to hear about that, so we're glad to welcome him. We want to welcome everybody, of course, and if you guys would, I'll take out your bullets and let's make sure you see the things that are in there, because I want to make sure you know we've got this info card in there. And visitors, we just want to know that you were here. At the end of the service, the offering plates will come around, and that's your time to put these in there. But it's not just for visitors. We do want that information so we can say thanks for coming. But you can see at the bottom of there is a place where we can kind of find out what we can be praying for you about. And that's for the whole church. We want to be praying for all of you at staff meeting. We do that every Monday. And we really do enjoy getting to pray for each of you. If you got any information updates as well, you can put those in there. And then as you kind of look on the back, there's various ways that you can plug in. This is not an exhaustive list. You can write in something. If there's a way that you want to get to serve in the church, make sure you get to use that and turn it into the offering plate at the end of the service. And at this point, I'd like to bring up all of our departing deacons. We have voted in a new crew, and that means that it's time for several of them to roll off. And I can have you guys just come up and stand in front of the stage. We want to recognize all of you. Ken, I'm going to get some help from you to pass out. We've got some gifts to recognize these gentlemen as they're coming up, and I think some of them may not be able to pull away from their various venues. But these things have names on them, and it takes a while to figure out where every one of them is. And we got, like I said, some of them are not quite up here yet. I think this one, he is out and about securing the facility or keeping Chattanooga safe. One of those things is Jonathan Dills. This one doesn't have a name, so we'll just skip that person there. This is the part that's always awkward. It's passing these things out well, but that's for Kurt Howe. We've already handed one to Aaron Swan to say goodbye to him. I know James Lyles wasn't able to be here today. They are saying goodbye to their chickens, as they often have to do. That's mine without. I told them they should watch Bye Bye Birdie every time they do it. And for Matt House, I'm not just cheesy up here. This is everywhere. And John Carter, I'm betting this one without the name, that's the one that fell off for Mr. Miguel Perez. I can reach Miguel. There we go. Miguel is going to be continuing, of course, to pastor our Spanish congregation. He's got some help coming up as well. But I have asked that Ken Cato would pray over these men just to kind of thank the Lord for their service. And this has been a very important season in the church with this kind of transition and all that the church has gone through, which has been wonderful. And a big part of the reason it's been so great is because of the men standing in front of you and the way that they have handled themselves and kind of led the church through all of this. So I personally want to say thank you as well. These are part of my first group of deacons standing in front of me. I don't think any of them are leaving because of me. I hope. I checked your time, so give me that look there. So I've asked Ken if he would to pray for them.
Father, we do thank you for each of these men and the 6 years of their lives that they've committed to this ministry. And pray that you'll bless them as they go forward, that they'll continue to grow in their walk with you. Help them as they lead in their families and in their communities and their jobs, and continue to work here at Grace. And I pray that you'll bless them and enrich their lives as they allow you to mold them into the image of your Son. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. And can I have you men stay up here? I did have in my notes, I'd written, remind the old deacons to stay up here. I mean, the departing deacons, because I think old I might get in trouble for, so we got to watch out for that. But I just wanted to thank all of you. The gift that you have there is certainly just a very small token of our gratitude as a church, and I'm sure that most of you served so that you could get this gift bag for 6 years. If you guys would stay up, I'd like to bring up all of our new deacons. We're going to have the new deacons come on up, those who are in the room at this time. We don't have gifts for you. You got to serve 3 to 6 to be able to get your gift. That's kind of how it goes. It sounds like a prison term. It's not totally supposed to. What I'm asking is if we could have our departing deacons go and lay a hand on each of our new men, the new men coming up, just to make sure we get to let you know who each of them are. We have Fred Bennett coming up on this side, Tom Crum, and several of these have been deacons before. Juan Escudero, I mentioned him at the Gather Report this past Sunday, that he and his wife Beth have just returned from a mission trip to Pennsylvania. It was cut about a day short by the snow, which you said, I believe, the snow was above his son's head. His son's not very tall yet, but still. So we have Phil Darling coming in, and then we have Nathan Grieve, Clay Robinson, Matt Thompson, and Jimmy Fade Leon are stepping on. Many of them for the first time, some of them again. So I'd ask that, as the Bible has showed us, to be able to lay hands on these men. And if I can have then, as we see the new ones and the ones who are departing, if I can have all of our deacons now come up and lay hands on these men as we kind of welcome them in, lay hands on them, and pray over them. I'm not going to try to introduce all of them. I'm pretty sure I know their names, but I don't want to embarrass myself if I don't have to. Wonderful tasks ahead, and this is the group you're going to see up here, many who have been working on what we're rolling out this year to care for this entire congregation, and these men all very excited to be able to care for you and love on all of you and to lead this congregation. So I've asked Kurt Howe as his kind of final job as deacon chairman here to pray over all of our new deacons as we lay hands on them.
Precious Father, we're just so thankful this morning for your faithfulness to our body over this last couple of years and just for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for the unity of our body. We thank you especially, Lord, for the faithful men who have served. And Lord, I just want to take these new men that are coming on and willing, thank you for their willing hearts, willing to serve and to become your servants, Lord, to our body here, that you will just give them undue power. We pray, Lord, that each one of them would live spirit-filled lives. We ask, Lord, especially that you'd put a hedge of protection around them, and, Lord, to keep them pure. Pray, Lord, that they would continue to grow in their servanthood to our body and just give them much wisdom and growth as they serve in this capacity. We thank you, Lord, for our church body. We thank you for our leadership. And we just pray that as we look forward to the year ahead, that you would just undergird our body, Lord, and just keep us pure. We pray, Lord, that you would just give power to each of these men as they serve in their individual capacities with the gifts you've given to them. And, Lord, that the needs of our body will be met. And we just ask, Lord, again for a special measure of your grace and your mercy upon our body at this time. Thank you again for Grace Baptist. We thank you, Lord, for just the precious lives that represented here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us this year will grow as a result of the teaching and preaching of your word and as we exercise the gifts that you've given to us. And especially, Lord, for these new men that are coming on to assume new responsibilities, we just pray your special measure of strength and grace upon them. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Praise isn't really all that difficult of a concept to grasp because we do it all the time. We praise our children when they obey and do well. We praise employees when they do a good job. And when that new puppy gets it right and goes outside for its business, well, it gets loads of praise and treats. But far above and beyond any of that, praise is something we direct toward God, or something we express to others about God. Several of the dictionary definitions for praise highlight the simplicity of the concept. To commend, to applaud, to express approval or admiration, to extol in words or in song, to magnify, to glorify. Praise can be given directly to God or can be expressed to others in reference to God. If you have simply contemplated the wonders of God, you've not yet entered into praise. Meditation is not praise. So many wonderful people and churches all around the world cross their arms, lower their heads, sip on their coffee, close their lips, and say, "Well, this is just how I like to praise God." The problem with that is there's no such thing as my way of praising the Lord. There's only God's way. And He has clearly revealed His way in Scripture. Further, the Bible shows us that praise must be declared or manifested. Psalm 66, verse 8 proclaims, "Let the sound of His praise be heard." Praise is not praise until it is spoken or displayed. In other words, it's impossible to praise God with your mouth shut and body slumped forward. It's possible that we could be worshiping, or meditating, or praying, or sleeping, but we are not praising. Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 9, "Lift up the voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid." You can praise with or without your voice, but either way, praise is demonstrated. Others are aware that praise is occurring. We need to do more than simply praise according to our own feelings and desires. We will never grow and mature in our expression of praise until we are willing to praise in a manner pleasing to the Lord, the way He wants us to praise. Praise functions primarily according to our will and not our emotions. We cannot enter into right relationship with God until we praise Him. Without a thankful and praising heart, we will never grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We don't praise based on our righteousness or spirituality, but because God is worthy. It's cute and just amazing. The Lord talks about the faith of a child, and we get to see them there praising the Lord and praising in just fun ways that just come natural to them as children. We're at the end of our, or the kind of the middle, definitely not the end, but the middle of our series on Gather, Grow, and Go, and kind of this is the end of the gather portion of that we're coming to today. Last week, we were able to introduce gather and what we do with that. And part of gather is worship. And so we unpacked that word just a little bit, that word worship a little bit last week. And we looked at some other components of that gather part of our mission. The care, the fellowship, caring for one another, being around one another, hospitality, worship. And hopefully it gave you some new eyes to see more of what worship looks like in the life of a believer. Because it's the response of our life is what worship really is. It's not anything about earning our way to God. It's not just what we do in here on Sunday morning. But it's responding to the gift of eternal life that we've been given in Jesus Christ. And that worship, that life of worship and giving back to Christ, the worshiping Him as He's used us to gather and worked in us to grow, that's the motivation for giving and for serving. And it's seen in the depth of our relationships with one another. And then there is what happens too as a part of this gather, what happens when we come here in this corporate setting, what we do here is we walk into this gathering. And it's something that I think for many of us, many churches and us here as well, that we've kind of automatically labeled as worship. When we say worship, we tend to think, okay, we're talking about singing and we're talking about praise. And maybe we do, hopefully, we think about even the message here as a part of our worship and our offering time as a part of our worship as well. But in the original language of the Old Testament, there's a number of words the writers would use to express praise. And as we saw in that introduction, there is a difference between praise and worship. Praise that is heard, that it is displayed in some way, whereas worship can be something that we do with our lives and with our heart. But in the original languages, those authors, they used each word for praise to fully describe what was really being expressed at that very moment. It's been said that reading the Bible in the English is kind of like seeing it in black and white. But when you understand the original languages, the Hebrew and the Greek that those texts were written in, it's like bringing the Bible into color, being able to see it in a new way. The Bible just kind of comes alive and you can more fully walk where the authors and the characters, those who were in there, where they walked. You can feel what they felt and see what they saw. And you can begin to understand why they expressed praise in the way that they did. My hope today is that through the video, and we're going to be out of order. I told you it goes against my nature to go out of order in the sermon series and go from gather to next week to go and then later to grow. But we're going real out of order today. It's going to freak you out. We got the message before our songs. It's going to be great. I'm excited about it. But as we kind of come to this time now, my hope is that we can add some color to that understanding of praise. And as we looked at worship a little bit last week, I mentioned that we get into this idea of praise, which is a portion of worship, a little bit more this week. So the staff has gotten together, and really it's been a couple of months that they've been working on this project. And they've gotten together to walk through several Hebrew words for praise, which is what you're about to see. So as you watch, I just ask that you would set aside any preconceived ideas of what praise is, and be open to what the Word of God has to say, because this is what God has written to us and where He tells us what praise is. Be open to what this Word has to say. And when we're done, let's praise together in the Lord's way as an act of the will and not just of our own emotions and feelings and desires and preferences.
A primary root word for praise in Hebrew is halal. This word can be found in a number of places in Scripture, particularly in the Psalms. Our word hallelujah comes from this base word and means to be clear, to shine, to boast, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. When I think about praising God in those terms, it makes me a little uncomfortable. I find myself shying away from anything being described as clamorously foolish. Perhaps you, like me, have had opportunities to attend many weddings. I have seen at weddings, both here in the U.S. and overseas, a very similar way of expressing joy, of celebrating the event and the couple getting married. Dancing. Now, any dancing that I would do would surely be described as clamorously foolish. I don't like to dance. I'm not good at it. Still, in the middle of the joy of those occasions, I have found something within me that wants to respond in celebration by dancing. Some of you may be like me and can close your eyes and picture Snoopy with his head tilted back dancing in joy and celebration. Or perhaps you've seen small children who oftentimes respond to celebration and excitement with dancing. They can't seem to help it. Now, as we look to scriptures, we find David, a man after God's own heart, who in 2 Samuel chapter 6 goes to retrieve the Ark of God and bring it back to the city of David. In verse 13, we read that after the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had gone six steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. Now, if you are familiar with this story, you know that David's wife, Michal, looked out and saw him dancing. In verse 20, when David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, "How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." But David's reply was, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. Now, did you catch that last part? This was not something that was necessarily comfortable for David. He recognized that it appeared foolish and it was humiliating to him. But that didn't matter. He was celebrating his God. He was saying that regardless of how I may appear or how humiliating it may be for me, because of this passion I have and because of my joy and desire to celebrate God, I'm going to do it. So one of David's ways to express praise to God was in dancing. Similarly, glimpses of praise can be seen by visiting this room and the children's ministry that meets here at Grace each Sunday morning. Many of the children cannot keep still while singing. Many of the songs have silly motions that go along with them, and the kids sing, dance, and use these motions to express joy and praise. They don't care that they might look foolish. This is halal. And how great would it be if on Sunday mornings in big church, we too could recognize these different moments of worship and praise and say that I don't care who's watching, I don't care who sees me, my only response is to worship the Creator. And that's between me and Him. And everyone else, it's up to them to choose how they are going to worship. I wonder if we could say like David, I'm willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes, in praise and worship to my God and King.
A tehillah is a song or poem of praise. After the nation of Israel returned to Jerusalem from captivity, a scribe, maybe Ezra, or a group of Torah experts collected 150 tehillim that tell the story of Israel and her God. You've read them. We know them as the Book of Psalms. Maybe you've wondered how the Psalms, the tehillim, can be appropriately expressed as an act of worship. After all, aren't most of them really only applicable to the ancient Jewish people who wrote them and lived through them? But think about it this way. Have you ever caught yourself singing along to a song because you think, this song gets me. It's saying what I want to say. Well, that's how the Psalms work. Let me explain how. In the days following his resurrection, Jesus reminded his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So the Tehillim, Israel's praise songs, are about its Messiah. Jesus taught his disciples to read the Old Testament this way. And when we think about Tehillah in this way, it helps us make sense of why Paul tells the church, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." So our task is to teach and sing and live the Bible, praising and celebrating the Son of God, Israel's Messiah, the King of Nations. So here's some examples. The Tehillim begins with the familiar refrain about the blessed man who avoids the way of sinners because he delights and meditates day and night on God's law. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season. And when we sing in celebration about the Bible, we are like a fruitful garden, or like Eden, where it all began. And the second Tehillah, like many others, has a kingly theme. So Yahweh tells of setting up his king on Mount Zion, and he identifies the king as his son, who will receive the nations and the ends of the earth as an inheritance, over which he will rule with a rod of iron. In some ways, Israel's King David seems to personify this kingly son, and David himself writes many of the Tehillim. But David's songs are less about himself and more about one who would come, who would exceed him and reign eternally. Other psalms reminisce of Moses, or they look forward to Solomon. But more than that, they speak of another. They speak of one who will lead an even greater exodus than Moses. And they speak of the greater Solomon, whose wisdom exceeds Solomon and who succeeds where Solomon failed. And the Psalms are even structured like the Torah. So there's five books of the law and there are five books of the Tehillim. And each of those five books ends with a doxology, a verse or two offering praise to Yahweh. And then at the end of the fifth book, there are five doxological Tehillim, placing an exclamation mark at the end of Israel's songbook. Kind of like the way John's Revelation ends with praises being sung around the throne to the true King of Israel in a garden of trees and rivers because the inhabitants of that kingdom are blessed. So we now sing and pray our praise songs about those days in anticipation of that day to come.
Zamar is the Hebrew word meaning to praise the Lord by singing and making music with your instrument. As I reflected on the emphasis of this word, my first thought was of concern because I play no musical instrument. And this is not the first time it has bothered me. From time to time, I have wished I had learned to play an instrument. It is one of the few regrets of my childhood, never having lessons on an instrument. I often watch talented musicians in our church with great admiration and would love to be like them, producing beautiful musical praise to our great God. This is Zamar. The melody, harmony, and rhythm bursting forth from their instruments is so beautiful. Psalm 108 says, "My heart is confident, God. I will sing. I will sing praises with my whole being. Wake up, harp and lyre. I will wake up the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the peoples." Over the years, I've been given so many opportunities to join in musical praise by using the instrument of my voice to sing. My years in school gave me the chance to sing in choirs and ensembles. I love singing to the Lord and lifting my voice in full volume to His glory, following along others who are strumming, blowing, drumming, and playing their instruments. Sunday mornings at Grace are exceptional times for worshipful praise represented by this word, Zamar. We join together in musical praise led by Pastor Fred and our team of musicians. And then I also get to enjoy our Academy choirs, ensemble, and band at different times throughout the year. I love that the Ministry of Grace is filled with musical giftedness, and most importantly, that we are using this gift to glorify our great God. So what about you? Has God given you the incredible blessing of learning to play a musical instrument sometime in the past? Were you given this gift that I often wish I had? Maybe you have a guitar stashed away, or another stringed instrument in a closet, or is it brass? Maybe percussion? God has created music for His glory and given so many of us the awesome gift of making music with instruments. Will you join in Zamar, in praising the Lord with your instrument?
Barak means to kneel down and bless God as an act of adoration. I've often wondered and tried to imagine what it would be like to actually meet Jesus face to face. How would I respond? I've watched the news on TV at times when in England people are lining the streets just to see the royal family, the Queen of England, and how desperate they are to get a good view. And I have found that people in America act very similar when there's a famous actor, actress, musician. But to be honest, I've never gotten caught up in much of that. The very idea of wanting to see or meet someone that much just isn't that enticing. So, just how will I react when the day does come that I meet Jesus face to face? Will I be able to become so humble as to even kneel and then bow before Him? Growing up here in a culture where we just aren't accustomed to doing that. But I had a life-changing experience one day a few years ago. I was reading my Bible, and the passage was Revelation 4. There was nothing special about that particular day, but as I read that passage, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then on to verse 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. I about exploded. He is worthy. He died for me, the Lamb of God. And before I knew what had happened, I was up from my chair at the kitchen table and face down on the floor, bowing before and praising God. What a great experience that was to bow, kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. As said in Psalm 95:6, it brought such joy to my heart. I would have loved seeing the face of Jesus at that moment. Did he feel honored? Did he feel blessed? I sure hope so. Since then, I find that sitting out here on my back porch, whether it's sunny and warm or raining or snowing or somewhere in between, it's an easy and quiet, comforting place to praise God and bow before him in my heart. Being alone amongst nature, just the Lord and myself, but as much as I love this back porch and the time that I've spent with the Lord here, it still doesn't compare to that day in my kitchen. So as I eagerly await heaven and worshiping the Lord there, I know that I don't have to wait for heaven. I don't want to wait for heaven to praise the Lord. I humbly bow before him now and offer my praise. And we can do that every time we worship, when we're alone, when we come together corporately. What if we felt the freedom and desire to bow or kneel before the Lord in praise instead of just standing to sing?
Trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
Riding in your car, listening to praise music or a radio pastor, and the Holy Spirit just fills you with praise, and you find yourself raising your hand in praise and worship to our great God. Now, I recommend that you keep the vehicle on the road, but that's what Yada is lifting your hands wherever you are, in your car, in church, in your home. It is a lifting our hands in praise and worship to God, who deserves our praise for all that he has done, is doing, and is going to do in our lives. Raising our hands, Yada, is a biblical expression of praise to Jehovah. Psalm 63:4 says, "So I will bless thee as long as I live. I will, Yada, lift up my hands in thy name." When we are able to think beyond our circumstances, beyond ourselves, an attitude of love, trust, and awe will many times translate into us reaching our hands to the Father and giving praise to the Lord. Yada is a Hebrew word, a verb, that means an extended hand or to throw out the hand. So when the Holy Spirit leads you in your worship, no matter where you are, lifting your hand signifies praise, worship, and surrender to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes I have people mention to me that they wanted to lift their hands in church. May we not be ashamed to praise Jesus in a way that he has provided for us. Raising our hands, extending our hands in worship and praise, even in church. I will yada my hands in thy name.
The Hebrew word is todah. The word can be translated different ways depending on how the context goes. Sometimes it simply means a confession, whether it's a confession of sin or a confession of God's greatness and God's magnificence. But one of the most common ways that todah is used in the Old Testament is of the thanksgiving offering that's prescribed there. And if you imagine going before the priest and the offering is made, and in the midst of the making of that offering, there's a giving of thanks. So that seems kind of strange, but what does that tell us? Well, it seems to show that God's glory is magnified when our thanksgiving and our praise costs us something. The context of Psalm 69 is a great deal of suffering. Psalm 69, verses 29 and 30. But as for me, afflicted and in pain, may your salvation, God, protect me. I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. The other day, it's almost as if I was cruising along and things were going on in my relationship with the Lord, and then I hit this spiritual black hole. It's the only way I know to describe it. And I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't explain this sense of emptiness. But then I started thinking about this word, todah. And I decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to give you thanks. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to proclaim your mighty works. And in the midst of doing that, it's not like a switch flipped, but it turned my attention away from how I was feeling. It turned my attention away from my sense of emptiness. God, where are you? To reflecting on His greatness, to reflecting on the fact that it's not His privilege that I worship Him, it's my privilege that I get to worship Him. And so, todah can mean different things in different contexts, but most often translated thanksgiving. And God's glory sometimes is most magnified when our praise costs us something. His worth is reflected in the fact that I'm going to praise Him and give Him thanks and proclaim His worthiness in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, in the midst of things that I don't understand. His worthiness to be worshipped, His worthiness to be praised has never changed.
When I was young, my family moved from Liberty, South Carolina to Atlanta, Georgia. It was quite a change from a very small, rural town in South Carolina. But one of the perks for moving to a large city was that they had professional athletic teams. Falcons football, Flames hockey, Chiefs soccer, but one of my favorite was Braves baseball. I remember attending my first game as an 8-year-old kid and how excited my brother and I were to be at our first major league ball game. We had our baseball gloves ready to catch those foul balls. We enjoyed hot dogs, popcorn, drinks, and watching the game. I got to see Hank Aaron live and in person, not really knowing the impact that he would have on the game of baseball. We yelled and shouted as we were cheering on our favorite team. I'll get back to that in a minute. But as I think about the concept of praise, my mind is drawn to Psalm 63, where the psalmist David says, "O God, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." And one of the Hebrew translations for the word praise is the word shabak. It means to shout in a loud tone or to commend loudly, to triumph. And earlier in that same passage, David says, "Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary," or that public place of worship, "beholding your power and glory." It seems that David was longing to share with others publicly his passion to know God and His power and His glory that was among them. That's why he followed these words with verse 3 that I just quoted. "Because your love is better than life, my lips will shabak you," or shout to you. A few chapters earlier in chapter 47, the scripture says, "Clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a loud shout of joy." And that's what shabak means. We shout to God in triumph for His creation and His majesty, His power, His sacrifice, and His deep, deep love, and so on and so on. So you might be wondering why I began this talk about baseball. It seems that I have no problem cheering for my favorite team, sometimes almost uncontrollably. And yet I have a hard time aligning myself publicly with Jesus to the point of shouting his wonderful name or yelling about the obvious works and miracles that he's doing or cheering on someone who has just begun a relationship with him. Not only does it not seem to make sense, it doesn't seem to be aligned with biblical teaching. For those that know me and my personality, you know it's pretty laid back, and I don't get real excited very easily. And some of you may be saying the same thing. It's just not my personality to praise God that way. It's just not my personality to lift up a shout. But my challenge or question to you, and really to myself, is it not my personality? Or is it just that I'm not getting excited about the right things? I have no issues with getting excited about my favorite ball team. But how much more excited should I be about the one who rescued me from sin and who has promised me eternal life with him forever? If I'm thrilled and vocal about things that are temporal, how much more should I cheer and shout or shabak about the things that are eternal? The scripture says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's who I want to cheer. That's who I want to shabak. For he alone is worthy of my praise. And that's why I can sing.
I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain.
Attitudes and our actions about this attitude and concept of praise. And as we progress to the next part of the service, I just trust that you'll feel free to worship and praise the Lord as you feel free to. And whether you choose to stand with us or sit or bow or kneel, that your heart's desire will be to lift high the name of Jesus. Lift high the name of Jesus. With hearts that are full of praise. I mean, that's what it's about, right? We worship him. We praise him. Because we can't help it. We can't help it.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.
Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.
Worthy is the
Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Thank you.
God, we're thankful that we can lift up song to you. We thank you that you are holy above all else. We exalt your name and we praise you now in this place. I pray that as we continue in worship, that you would just really encourage our hearts today, that you love us, you care about us, and you desire us to praise you in our lives. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40 and the last few verses of that chapter says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is
the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths fail and faint, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Would you join us as we sing?
Who shall I fear? I know. What a wonderful extended time of worship this morning. Just the praise and worship that we can have as believers. It's because of Christ. The last song that we're going to sing is just very simply entitled Cornerstone. And it's because of Christ being that chief cornerstone that we can celebrate and praise, right? So we're thankful to Him for that. We could not sing about the foundation that we sang about, or the strength that we have with Him, or the power that He has over death and hell, except for Him being our cornerstone. So He can go before us, right? He can stand with us, stand behind us, and push us along sometimes when we need that. But He definitely goes with us. He's our friend. He's our friend. So we're thankful for that. How about you today? Maybe you've lost your desire to praise or your will to praise, as Pastor Ben was talking about, and as we talked about some in the video this morning. Or quite possibly you may be here and say, I have no idea what you guys were doing this morning. Maybe you don't have a relationship with God. We would love to talk to you about that. In just a few minutes when we're singing, Pastor Ben and others will be down here and up in the balcony to talk with you. If you would allow us to do that, we would love to share the gospel in Christ and what a difference He can make and why we can stand and sing and praise the way we do this morning. Maybe some of us just need to come pray. Maybe we need to come alone. Maybe we need to come with a friend. Maybe some of us need to say, I've been trying to worship in my way. I want to worship God's way. Maybe you say, I need to come and bow and just pray. Maybe I need to come and bow as an act of adoration this morning and kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Whatever that looks like to you this morning, we invite you to come. And as I said, somebody will be here. We'd love to talk with you. You can just come and pray. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Lord, He's Lord.
worship yet. In fact, I know the word that Fred talked about was Shabbat, and I do want to try something today as just kind of a group, as a congregation, as we come toward the end of our time of worship. And in just a second, I will just say, let's lift up a shout of praise to the Lord, a Shabbat to the Lord. And I would just ask that all of you at that time would shout, praise the Lord. And I would love for us to, person for person, put Neyland Stadium to shame. Let us lift up a shout to the Lord. Praise the Lord. One more time. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are still not finished with our time in worship, because that word Todah that Pastor Kelly talked about is often tied to sacrifice and to giving. There would be a Todah as you would come and present your offerings to the Lord. So our time of giving that we come to now as the ushers come forward is an extension of our praise. It's part of the reason that we have music during the offering. So let this be a time of praise and even offering yourself to the Lord. And visitors, all we ask from you is that information card so we can get in touch with you and say thanks for coming, get some information to you about the church. But let us continue to worship as we give. Father, we thank you. We praise you, God. Praise you, our Heavenly Father, our Lord, our Creator, the only one who is worthy of praise. And we are only able to praise you because of the salvation that you've given us in Jesus Christ. And as we come now to a time of offering, I pray that this would be a Todah. To praise you, in a sacrifice and giving to you. May you be honored by this praise. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. We are still certainly not finished with praise and worship as we go out of these doors and into our neighborhoods, our homes, our workplaces and our schools, all the places that we go, we carry praise. Praise that is displayed in some way to other people. And praise that will draw the Lord to himself. And as we come back and we gather tonight in small groups or here and we gather again next week, it's my prayer that what we experience today and is not a one-time thing, but we continue to grow in our praise here and everywhere we go. And with that, in praise, grace, it is time to go.